Open, if you would, in your Bibles to Philippians and chapter 4. Let's dig in to our portion tonight. We're in the fourth chapter of the book of Philippians, a great book about joy and peace in times of difficulty. The author is writing this from imprisonment, facing the death penalty, and he knows a little bit about the challenges of life, and yet it's full of how to live a life of peace and joy with a focus on joy. I'm going to read, if I could, verses 4 through 7 of chapter 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your forbearing spirit be made known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will garrison or guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Our theme verse in chapter 4, at least the first half of chapter 4, is verse 4. And the reason we picked it as the theme verse is because it just seems to be the forte of the entire letter. Verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice, or simply rejoice in the Lord always. Now, to do that, to practice that at all times, you know, we got to take care of that anxiety problem. And so last time we were together on Sunday morning, we asked two questions to kind of get ourselves rolling with the text. One is, what does it look like and feel like to live anxiety-free? And we noticed in the letter of Philippians and in Scripture that on the one hand, to live anxiety-free, we still live with deep, deep concern, especially over the needs of other folks, their temporal needs, their eternal needs. We live with deep, deep concern. We saw Timothy, we saw Paul, we saw Jesus himself as examples of that. Second of all, though, it was to live not just with deep concern, but to live with deep concern and at the same time experiencing the peace of God. Verse 7 is the result of verse 6 and prior. The peace of God, if we do this, the how-to, which we'll mention in just a moment, the peace of God that passes all comprehension will garrison your heart, and your mind will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. So the question for me, if I am living a life anxiety-free, on the one hand, I'm going to be intensely concerned about the welfare of other folks, intensely. But on the other hand, there's going to be an abiding peace of God if I am doing the how-to part of this thing. We say, well, what's the how-to part? Well, two things. How do we experience this peace of God according to verse 6 and following? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Supplication means simply making a request, so we just call it prayer. Prayer is mostly listening, but it's also making a request of God. So first of all, we need to be praying, and we covered that last time. But what I skipped over last time is that little phrase, with thanksgiving. That is so huge, and that's what we're going to look at tonight. We're going to put it together with that little phrase, so it's not just prayer, but it's prayer with thanksgiving. There is a big difference between the prayer of arrogant entitlement and humble thankfulness. A huge difference that takes place in our hearts, but also and primarily in the heart of God. So in everything, we are to be giving thanks. Ask a couple questions at the front end to get our brains rolling. Can I be thankful when I experience the alarm clock in the morning? Yeah, it means I'm still alive. Can I be thankful when I experience my tax bill? It's coming up, by the way. Yeah, it means I have some income or property. Can I be thankful when there's a pile of dirty dishes and my clothing has become too tight? Yeah, it means I have enough to eat. Can I be thankful with stuff around the house to fix? Yeah, it means I got stuff. What a grace, you know, a gracious gift of God. Can I be thankful with the bills, utility bills and the like? Yeah, it means I got power and utilities. Can I be thankful when, you know, that relative calls and he's complaining about the government over the phone? Yeah, it means that we are gifted with freedom of speech. Can I be thankful when the family member is this Sunday singing off key? Yeah, it means I can hear. Can I be thankful? We got playoffs coming up, by the way, soccer and football at the community center, the adult sports coming up beginning this Thursday. We're in the playoffs, you know, one game elimination. Can I be thankful if our team loses one of the games? I don't know. Yes, because it means I got legs, I'm able to play ball. What an amazing thing. And I've actually had to do that from time to time. Go, you lose the game and you're feeling it was kind of your fault, you know, and you drop the pass, whatever. You got to go, whoa, got to back up a little bit and go, you know what? I'm not in a wheelchair right now. I'm not blind. I'm able to play the game. Got to snap out of this and have joy. Can I be thankful in impending death? You know, got the bad diagnosis, and death is only days, weeks, and months away. Absolutely. To live is Christ, to die is gain. There's pain on the way, but to die is gain. We got eternity. Can I be thankful when my worst fear certainly appears like it's going to take place? Yeah, I'm not in hell right now where I belong. I'm on my way to heaven. I have an incredible Lord I have a relationship with. Can I be thankful in COVID-19 season with, if I've lost a loved one or more, a business going under, numerous other terrible things happening, I can still be thankful for the good stuff. And we've talked about it in the past, that God is using this time for, including bringing hopefully a humility and granting a repentance to our nation through these times of challenge. We can be thankful no matter what's going on. And so we look at Paul in the letter. Was Paul thankful when he was going through what he was going through? We could spend really the night going passage by passage, but I'd like to take us to Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. Just a couple of illustrations, if I could. Just a couple. I think his thankfulness is inherent throughout this letter. And remember, this letter is about joy. And I think without thankfulness, you don't have joy. I think with thankfulness, you're going to have a fullness of joy, provided the other things that we've talked about are in place. So chapter 1 and verse 12, we have these words. Now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances, remember he is incarcerated, facing possible rotting in jail, possible beatings, possible death. My circumstances have turned out, and I didn't know how they're going to turn out, but they've turned out for the greater progress of the gospel. Evidently, God had something in mind with this thing, so that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has, one, become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else, and they've been hearing the gospel from me, in other words, and two, that the brethren have more courage to speak God's word without fear. That I'm going through this kind of emboldens them to open up and to share God's word. Those are two good things of others that have come from this imprisonment. Philippians chapter 2, verse 17, another illustration from his mouth. Even if I am being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I rejoice and I share my joy with you. So even if I am like an offering being poured out on the altar, even if I am dying, even if I'm on my last breath, I'm still able to rejoice. Yet you just have this win-win with Paul. If he's released, it's a win, and he's thankful. If he's put to death, it's a win, and he's thankful. There's just a thankfulness that the sovereign hand of God is moving. And, you know, we don't always know what it is that God's going to be doing, but as believers, not just in Christ as Savior, but in Christ as Lord, we believe He is always moving. And so that's one of the ways we can be thankful in any circumstance whatsoever. Think of Jesus when he was in front of thousands of people, and it was mealtime. The folks were like really, really hungry. And there was a couple of fish and a couple of pieces of bread brought to him. And you know what he did before he did anything else? You got thousands of people. A couple of pieces of bread, a couple of fish. He gave thanks. And then he did the miraculous, but he gave thanks before doing the miraculous, not after, for the couple of loaves and couple of pieces of bread. Jeremiah chapter 1, we have these words. God's talking to Jeremiah. This is back in the Old Testament. And verse 4, Jeremiah is a prophet. God is bringing judgment, chastisement, correction on the nation of Judah. And Jeremiah is a prophet among them. And God's calling him to a pretty hard ministry. He's going to be disliked by a lot of people. He's going to also end up incarcerated, by the way. He doesn't know all that right now. This is the very beginning of the letter when God calls him. And God says this to him. Now, the word of the Lord came to me saying, this is God talking to Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before I even began to create you in your mom's womb, I knew you. You didn't exist, but you were in my mind. And I fashioned you accordingly in your mom's womb. That's true of every human being, by the way. That's true of you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. That means I have a plan for your life. I set you apart for ministry. I have appointed you a prophet to the nations, not just Judah, but other nations as well. Jeremiah, before I ever made you, I had a plan for your life. And you're going to carry it out. And nobody can thwart it. Then I said, alas, Lord God, behold, I don't know how to talk. I'm a young guy. Who am I to do this? The Lord said, don't say I'm but a youth. Because everywhere I send you, you shall go. And the point is, nobody can thwart that plan. What I command you to speak, you're going to speak, and nobody's going to be able to shut you up. Don't be afraid of them. I am with you to deliver you. Now, he's going to be incarcerated. He is going to get, he's going to get hurt real bad during his ministry. But God's going to bring him through every step that God had preordained for Jeremiah to walk in. And Jeremiah is just an example for the rest of us. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, for example. This is true of you and me. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. You say, well, what are those blessings? Number one, He chose us in Christ before He ever made the world. God knew you. He knew He was going to make you. He didn't exist, but He knew who you would become. He was going to make you in your mom's womb at the exact place, at the exact time, through the exact means, and that you were going to have a life, and He chose you to trust Him. He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. Second of all, he predestined us to adoption. God had a plan to, if you're trusting Christ, it's evidence God had a plan to adopt you into his family. Third of all, verse 7, he has redeemed you. You have complete forgiveness of your sin, which is a plan before he ever made the world. And fourth, he's made known the mystery of his will. Just like to Jeremiah, it's the same thing to you and the same thing to me. And so in chapter 2, verse 10, we have these words. We, all believers, are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. In other words, good things for you and for me to do were prepared before God ever made the world. Just like for Jeremiah, so for us. The point is, nobody can thwart the plan of God for your life. Now, I think in that, like I'm illustrating what it would have been to be Paul incarcerated. Paul didn't know all that was going to happen in his incarceration, but he knew that Jesus was working in Rome before he ever got there. He knew Jesus was working on those guards before he ever got there. And he's just a thankful soul that he can be used by God in some way in that prison area. It's an amazing thing. And that's just how he lived, it appears. That's how we can live. Think of the power of thanksgiving. And we have that power to be thankful all the time because we know that we know that we know we have peace with the sovereign Lord who's working and moving that we live out the fullness of his call. And COVID-19 nor anything else can thwart the plan of God for our lives. Therefore, we say with Paul in Romans 8:28 and following, God really does cause all things to work together for good. To those who love God, to those who are the called, like Jeremiah, like Paul, like you, like me, according to his purpose. Again, that purpose predestined before he ever made the world. For who he foreknew, he knew you'd be back before he made the world. These he also did predestine to be conformed to the image of his Son, that we might be the firstborn among many brothers. And so we are destined to be conformed to the image of Christ, and God's going to use everything, according to the promise in this passage, to conform us into the image of Christ and into the ministry of Christ. And the passage goes on to speak about us going all the way with the Lord, who he predestined, he called, who he called, he justified. That means you're made completely forgiven and righteous. Whoever's justified is as good as glorified. You're going to be in heaven with God forever. And everything that takes place on that course is going to happen in your life. What do we say? Verse 31, Romans 8. If God's for us, who can be against us? There's a thought to be thankful for. Nobody can thwart the plan of God. Who can bring a charge against you? Christ has paid the penalty of your sin. Who can in any way separate you from the love of God? Nobody can. Nothing can touch you outside of him allowing it to take place. Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword, COVID-19, nothing can separate you from the love of God. In all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. I'm convinced nothing can separate us from the love of God, is the way the passage closes out. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6 again. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ. In everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and verse 7, just a couple more passages just to kind of help out with this whole thing of going, this is a really serious thing that we need to be thankful. This is like big. This is like make it or break it in life. Could you imagine, just for a moment, I was thinking about this the other day. Could you imagine, I mean, just honestly think for a moment, what would your life be like if there was no such thing as thankfulness? Could you imagine? I mean, it blows my mind. Even if there was, I don't give thanks near enough to other people and to God. But imagine life with no thankfulness. It's unimaginable for believers, because we're trained to be thankful as we read God's word every day for Him and all that He's done and what He works through other people. And so, again, to help with this whole thing of thankfulness, I want to just dump a few more passages on you for you to study with your family. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7. Some of us need this, especially some of us American males. Who regards you as superior? That's a great question. Well, I regard myself as superior. Who regards you as superior? You know, arrogance and ungratefulness, they just always seem to accompany each other. Next question. What do you have you didn't receive, even including the qualities that you think make you greater than other people? What do you have you didn't receive? And here's the clincher question. If you did receive everything you got, why do you boast as if you didn't? Soul-searching question. Why is there arrogance in me? As opposed to just from top to bottom, pure thankfulness. Well, I worked hard to have everything I got. My character, my Christian character, my money, my estate, my power, my prestige. Yeah, and we admire your work ethic, and Scripture speaks about that, but what if God didn't intervene in your life and use other people to do so? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. Pretty similar passage to our passage in Philippians chapter 4. Rejoice always. That's a great memory verse right there. One verse, verse 16. Rejoice always. That's a command. Pray without ceasing. That's another command. Most of that is listening for the voice of God all day long, every day. And then, next phrase, in everything give thanks. Why? Because this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do you want to be in the will of God tonight? You want to be smack dab in the middle of the will of God tonight. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing to have that assurance? In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. A couple of other passages out of letters that Paul wrote right about the same time he wrote Philippians from being incarcerated on this topic of thankfulness. So Ephesians is another letter written right before, right after, right around the time that Philippians was written. And we have this in verse 4 of Ephesians chapter 5. There must be no filthiness or silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but instead, giving of thanks. Do you want to know a good way to get rid of that foul mouth? And I had a foul mouth for years, and it's a tough thing to beat. And I'm not saying I got a beat, but I'm, you know, still working on it. Here's probably solution number one, if you're going to get rid of that foul mouth. In everything, give thanks. Imagine if that became our trained, knee-jerk reaction to whatever happens. Get a flat tire in the car? Is there something to be thankful for? Get two flat tires on the car, one spare. Is there something to be thankful for? You got a car. You're not in hell. You're on your way to heaven. Jesus is right there with you. I mean, the list goes on and on. Are you kidding? You know, what if thankfulness was just the first thing to come out? What would happen to the foulness and the cussing? In everything, give thanks. Number one way to break a foul mouth. Some other pastoral letters. Well, actually, let me do one more in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. This is a great passage for a family. This would be a great plaque for your wall. Kind of look around your walls right now in your home and see if you can kind of maybe print this out, hang it somewhere. Don't get drunk with wine, for that's dissipation. But you can start right here. Be being filled with the Spirit. And what that means is just always be listening for the voice of God. And then four, what we call participles, accompany this. Always be listening and giving way to the voice of the Spirit. Number one, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That means just quoting. Most of the Old Testament was poetry, and they could quote it to one another. So always have scripture on your heart and on your mind and in your conversation. Speaking to one another, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Second of all, singing with melody in your heart to the Lord. And the worse your voice, the more it needs to be in your heart. But singing all the time needs to accompany our homes. Then third, and here's our focus tonight, always, and there's that word again, giving thanks for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to God. Always. Always giving thanks. In the word for all things, a little word that could be translated in reference to everything. I don't think we need to give thanks for everything in life, cancer, COVID-19, etc. But in the midst of those things, in reference to those things, I think we can give thanks at all times. Matter of fact, we are commanded to do so. The last phrase is being subject to one another, even though it may be a regular verb and not a participle in your version. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6. Another letter written during the time that Paul wrote Philippians, incarcerated in Rome. As you've received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. In other words, live in His presence, firmly rooted, being built up in Him, established in your faith. All that's the working of Jesus in your life. Just as you have been instructed. Listen now. In the midst of all of this discipleship, all this growing that you're doing, as you read Scripture and you apply it and you grow, in the midst of all of it, we are to be overflowing with gratitude. Great phrase, just overflowing with gratitude. That marks the life of a disciple. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. Yeah, I'm purposely kind of doing an overkill here, but these are huge passages to pray through, because if you're like me, you know we need to be thankful, but man, do we forget. We think it's just a small thing. You know, it's an acceptable sin. It'll wreck our lives, a lack of thankfulness. And thankfulness just builds our peace and our joy. So verse 15 and following, we're called in one body. Therefore, be thankful. Let God's word dwell in you richly, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to the Lord. Whatever you do, do it in the name of Christ, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. And so all the time we are to be thankful. Three times in that short few couple of verses, thankfulness is used. We are to be, in chapter 4, verse 2, in prayer, always with thankfulness. Chapter 4, verse 2 of Colossians. Let me bring it in for a landing with these last couple of passages. Just want to, it's Memorial Day, got America on my heart right now. And this ought to be the Psalm of America. Let me read it to you. It's Psalm 100. For some of you, it might be your favorite psalm. It's a great psalm to have as a favorite psalm. And it really should mark out Americans. It should certainly at least mark out the American church. And as we look forward to Memorial Day coming up and our thankfulness for how God has blessed our leadership and our military, those that know God, those that don't know God. He's blessed the whole group of us. This should accompany our nation as we approach Memorial Day. And as we look at the American church, some of it's dismal, but some of it's walking with the Lord. And so we have these words, Psalm 100. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth, not just America, but all the earth, because all the earth knows there is one true God, and they are blessed by Him deeply. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord Himself is God. It is He who made us, and not we ourselves, no place for arrogance. We are His people and the sheep of His Pastor, I'm not implying that all Americans are Christians or part of God's adopted family, but God certainly is the one who has provided abundantly beyond all that we need. Enter His gates, and so here we have the word thanksgiving, though every other phrase has it inherent in it. Enter His gates with thanksgiving. Enter His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name, for the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting. His faithfulness to all generations. Pray through that, if you would, as a family and as preparing your heart for Memorial Day. So many psalms with so much thanksgiving in them. You know, Jesus, in Luke 17, He's moving along, and there were 10 lepers. Y'all remember that story? And He pronounced healing on them, and as they were traveling to be verified for the chief, for the priest to verify their healing, one, I guess they all noticed, but one in particular noticed that he was completely cleansed. And he didn't need the priest to verify what was obvious, and so he spun around, went back to Jesus, and gave Him thanks. And Jesus said to him, by the way, that guy was from out of town. He was a Samaritan, not a Jew. Were not 10 cleansed? I want you to feel the heart of God here. You know, Jesus is God and humanist, and feel His heart. Were not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Now, Jesus knows. He's just helping this guy to realize the beauty of what he's done. Was no one found who turned back to give glory to God? Now, I think he's talking to the crowd right now, because this guy's a Samaritan. Probably the crowd is a Jewish crowd. Samaritans would be half Jew, half something else, and looked down on by many Jews. And so I think he's talking to the crowd, and he's using this guy as a teaching illustration. Was no one found to turn back to give glory to God? That's what thankfulness does. It glorifies God, except this foreigner. I want you to feel, Jesus is not scolding. He's just sharing the heart of God. You know where the other 9 were? They were enjoying the gift of God, but probably not spending time giving thanks to the God who gave them the gift. Man, too often that's my life. We're told that in these last days, people, this is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, ungrateful. That's our culture. And we're told in Romans chapter 1 and verse 17 and following, that the righteous are to live by faith, and they're different than the rest of the folks who know God exists, know He's given them everything that they have, including life and breath. Verse 21, even though they knew God, and we're talking about every person on the planet, they don't honor Him as God or give thanks. Now, what happens at that point? They become futile in their speculations. Their foolish hearts are darkened. Professing to be wise, they become fools. You know the first step to becoming a fool is to stop giving thanks. Do you know the first step to growth in Christ-likeness and morality? It's to give thanks in all things. So back to our passage. Don't be anxious about anything. I'm back in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Don't be anxious about anything. But in every scenario, every situation, by prayer and supplication, that means not flippantly, but truly coming before the Lord, sharing your heart with Him, with thanksgiving. Every scenario, whatever it is, you say, well, there's nothing in this scenario to be thankful about. Yes, there is, and we've talked about it. In every scenario, as we ask God, and even cry, maybe you got a loved one on the deathbed right now, and you're fasting and praying for God to bless that person with healing and the miraculous. And that's a beautiful thing to do. But even with that, there is so much to be thankful for. So that those prayers of tears, those prayers of beseeching God, yours, mine, should be filled with thankfulness. And everything, we give thanks as we're praying and letting our requests be made known to God. And the promise, prayer with thanksgiving produces peace with God. And so we live that beautiful Christian life of intense concern for the well-being of others, but experiencing the peace of God because we're bringing everything to the Lord in prayer and we're doing it with deep thankfulness. And I believe, I hope I've represented verses 6 and 7 in a right and a good way. Please make that a matter of prayer. Work your way through that passage. Beautiful passage to memorize. I suggest it to you. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we give you thanks for your marvelous, marvelous goodness to us. We thank you so much for the privilege to have the revelation that we have, that we're not in the place of looking at things and focusing on what we don't have, but we have so much because we have you. Jesus, thank you for coming to this planet 2,000 years ago. And friend, if you've never spoken these words to the Lord, or you just need to renew your relationship with God, now is the time to do it. Lord Jesus, thank you for coming to this planet 2,000 years ago, taking on humanness, eternal God entering time and space, living a perfect life, purposely going to a cross, hanging on that cross in my place, and on that cross, the Bible says, you took our sins on your body on the cross. I believe you took my sin. You knew you were going to create me, and you knew every act of rebellion I would ever commit from the time I was conceived to the time I would die. Every thought, word, and action that is not in line with your words and your laws, you took on your body on that cross. I believe the Bible when it says, you were punished in my place for my sin. I believe the Bible when it says, you paid the price in full, and that you died in my place, and that you rose again 3 days later, that you ascended into heaven 40 days thereafter, that you are alive today. You're offering me the gift of eternal life. Jesus, right now, I trust you for the gift of eternal life. I turn from anything and everything that would harm my relationship with you, all sin and rebellion, and things that will just simply sidetrack me. And Jesus, I turn to you as my Savior, and I trust you as my Savior. I turn to you as my Lord, and I trust you as my Lord. No turning back. I want to get to know you better. I want to get the life, I want to live the life that you have designed from me before you ever made the world. And I want to live a life of thankfulness and peace and joy every step of the way. In your presence, I trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. Friend, you can call us anytime on the website. Our all kinds of phone numbers, our cell numbers are on there. You can call us absolutely anytime about anything. You can drop by to see us anytime. any way that we can be a blessing to you, please contact us. We'd love to hear from you. God bless you. God make you a blessing.